Yes, I appreciate that song too, and it is a challenge. It's the challenge of being a pillar in the church, to be a stable someone that's solid, not tossed about with the winds of doctrines and such. But there's also another. I have a thought tonight, just a little thought from the Lord. It's a pressure from the world to pursue this state of mind. And I'm going to put a biblical term on the board. This is a biblical term of this state of mind. And after I write the biblical term on the board, then I'll tell you the worldly term. I say worldly. It's the term they use a lot. So I'm going to write a word on the board here. I have written on the board the word blessed. Now, I'm not talking there's another word spelled the same, just meaning blessed, as in, you bless, God is blessed and he's praised, he's thanked and so forth. But I'm thinking in the context, and we'll get into some scriptures here tonight, and we look in the Old Testament and the New Testament about blessed, a state of mind. It's I'll just use the worldly term, which there's scriptural terms that have this word, but happiness, okay? Happiness is good. In fact, we have in our songbook, number 96, the happy people. Who but the Christian is happy and free? And let me tell you something. Of all the people in the world, we should be the happiest, okay? But the fact of the matter is, there are pressures, there are spirits in the world from the devil himself pressuring us to pursue happiness alone. You understand the point here? Because there's more to the meaning of happiness, and there's more to the meaning of blessed, as we'll read some scriptures here in a little bit. But the world pursues it in a selfish way. It's all about me. Me, myself, and I. There's so many different ways the world pursues happiness. And I'm not going to spend time. We could make a whole long list up here on the board of ways that the world tries to, if we could say it this way, take their mind off of their troubles, to numb their pain, their emotional pain, their physical pain, the spiritual pain, whatever it is, all the things they throw themselves into. In fact, I'll just use this one example. This is something that that I've observed over the years, and I remember as a teenager, I was perhaps more in tune with the sports world. But it's amazing to me that at any given day of the year, and at any given hour, a person could most likely find, okay, I don't have a television at home, so I don't know this for a fact, but no doubt they could find something on the television, some sport that's being played somewhere to entertain them. And here's the thing, just the fact of the matter, there's baseball that goes for a good part of the year, then there's football that tags on at the end of baseball season, then basketball tags on after baseball, and then there's hockey and all these other major sports, and soccer and all these sports that's just one after another, vicious cycle all throughout the year. And so the bottom line is there's always something to try to fulfill that longing for happiness, that sometimes it's just a fleeting moment that they experience, but I'll be honest with you, I enjoy playing sports. In fact, just this afternoon up at Webb City, we went up there, we were in Joplin, we dropped by, the young people were playing softball. And I got out and played, I hit the ball one time and ran around a little bit and was there for a few minutes and had to go on. But and it's good, clean entertainment, it's good, clean fun for the young people, but there is a spirit, okay? And that's just of the sports world. That's just one little fraction. I mentioned to some of the young people at Young People's Meeting not too long ago, I work with a fella that him and his wife live for the weekends to go to the casinos. In fact, she is so, I don't want to say successful. She visits so often that she has now earned a silver card. And with this silver card, she gets all kinds of bonuses and all kinds of free gifts that they show up once a month in this special dinner they put on for them. And they receive all these special gifts and free prizes. And oh, she's so excited. And I'm thinking, I wonder how many hundreds or thousands of dollars she spent to get those free gifts that might cost $100. And she spent how many thousands to get those? But that's fulfilling. That's happiness to them. And he's excited. They can, sometimes he'll take off work on Fridays to go to the casinos. But those are just some little examples I'm throwing out here that the world is, they're not happy. Okay. They don't have the fulfillment. What we're fixing to read here in some of these scriptures, they don't know what it's like to be truly blessed. Okay. From the Lord. I want to read, we'll start out in, 1 Kings, the 10th chapter. And this is a very fitting story here. And we're not going to read the whole story, but just kind of pull out these scriptures. 1 Kings, the 10th chapter, in verse 8. This is when Queen of Sheba came to visit King Solomon. And she was rather impressed with what she saw. In fact, she says, the half has not been told. She's like, I didn't realize the magnificence of your kingdom and of your temple and of your people and of you and of your wisdom and the wealth of your nation, your army and all these things. She was just taken back, couldn't take it in. She says, verse 6, 1 Kings 10 and 6. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in thine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeded the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and that bear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. You see here, she picked up on this. She perceived, she was just by simple observation and sensing the enjoyment of these servants that were glad to serve the king was impressed so deeply upon her, she was just taken back with it. But here is the key. You see, it started with King Solomon. His heart was turned towards the Lord. And if you read during the dedication of the temple, how he went, ascended to the temple and given God the honor and praise and the glory and this long prayer he prayed before the Lord and God was pleased with that and sent his presence down into this temple that King Solomon built. God was pleased with that. King Solomon was reverencing God, okay, in his life. And therefore, with God's presence there, he was, and God gave him this divine wisdom, and through this wisdom, he was able to govern his people in such a way that it says, she said, happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee. You know, that's amazing. Let me just ask you point blank here. How many, if we were to say, just take any of, oh, we'll just use the president, for example. He's not a king, but he's the highest ruler in our nation. If we were to go down the whole long list of those that are working for the president, do you think this would be the report for all of them? And it's not just the president. Let's put it on a smaller scale. How about the mayor or the city manager of Neosho? Do you think all the subjects, all those that are underneath them, that they could have this, that they are happy, that they love serving. Okay, you understand the point here. But this was divine. This was of God, okay? And because God was reverenced. God was feared. Solomon got hold of something here. Well, now here's the interesting point. This word happy in this scripture here, in the Hebrew, means esher, which means happy, as it said here. But the same word, the same Hebrew word is used multiple times throughout the Old Testament and has the word blessed interchanged instead of happy. And so as we read a few more scriptures here in the Old Testament, we'll see how this all starts fitting together, and these other scriptures, to me anyway, come alive. Job 5 and verse 17. Good old Job. Job 5 and verse 17. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. Now let's stop just there for a moment. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Now let's just be honest with ourselves. Do you remember the days when we were children at home, okay? And we got corrected perhaps very firmly by our parents, and sometimes with a physical affirmation to correct us there a little bit. Did that make us happy? No, it didn't. But let me tell you something. Now that I'm a parent and I'm raising some children of my own, it's amazing how when, if a child is just let loose where they have no boundaries, and they can do anything they want, and no one's really paying attention. They're doing this and they're doing that, anything to fulfill what they want to do, what they think will make them happy. They get out of control, okay? But when a parent comes on the scene and they set some guidelines and they give some correction, do you know what's amazing? How that child, because when they're bouncing off the walls, doing the things they want to do, and I've observed this in other children, okay? Other children of the world, and I'm thinking, whether it's in the grocery store, and he's wanting every single piece of candy or every toy down the aisle, and the parents just jerking them and shaking them and cussing at them and slapping them and throwing them around, and that child, and then eventually they'll finally give him whatever, but then he'll get this, then he wants that, and maybe they'll give him that, but he's not happy. He's discontented, and he's not pleased with himself. But once I've seen a parent actually give some correction, give some guidelines, there's something about it that they find contentment in that. They're okay with that. And they become happy because someone loves them. Someone cares for them. Someone is willing to give them some advice, willing to give them some guidance, willing to give them some protection. That's really what it is, protecting them from themselves. They don't see it then because they're a little child. Well, I want to tell you something. God does the same thing with you and I. And there's times when it doesn't feel good when the good Lord gives us a little spanking, okay? It may not feel good, but for our own good, He's loving us beyond what we can feel and comprehend. He's looking ahead and sees that that's not good for you, child, and I don't want you doing that, and you're doing that too much. So, you know, that's the correction of the Lord. But it says here, behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not the chastening of the Almighty. You know, Job got a hold of that. Isn't it amazing that Job, he didn't take it personally as an attack from God, that he had all these boils and he lost all these things. But you realize in the end, all God was trying to do is get across to Job that I am God and you are man. That I am the Lord that you can trust in. And he wanted Job to be faithful all the way. He's like, Job, I'm not wanting to destroy you. I'm not wanting to crush you. But just trust me to the end. And if you are faithful to the end, I'll bless you beyond your comprehension. And thankfully, Job persevered. And Job was able to hang on through all what some people would say, the chastening through the correction of God. And believe me, God did correct him. Because there's times Job kind of got a little haughty and high-minded, but God reminded him, who did this? Who created this? Who, you know, and Job finally got the picture, oh, Lord, it was you. You know, that was a little correction from God there, but Job got the message. You know, Lord, help us that through life, there's going to be some times when it doesn't feel good when the Lord chastises us and corrects us. But if we're faithful, it says here, we'll be happy. We'll be blessed of the Lord. Here's another scripture. Psalms 1 and 1. Everyone knows this one. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. We could read the whole chapter there, but we'll just stop there. But it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You see, there's something about the pressures of the world. We'll just put it this way. The counsel of the ungodly is going to tell you, as I mentioned earlier, to take up for yourself. To take up for me, myself, and I. To be selfish about, well, I don't deserve this. And I don't deserve that. Or so-and-so doesn't deserve this. And so-and-so doesn't deserve that. So I'm going to take some action here and try to line things out. And we could go back to even the book of Job. Remember Job's so-called friends? That was, I could put it in these words here, the counsel of the ungodly. Okay, they were counseling Job. And what about Job's wife? What did she say? Oh, just curse God and die. That's the counsel of the ungodly. That's being selfish about it. Saying, well, I'm just going to take my ball and go home. You know, I'm going to show them who's boss. Well, no, God is boss. Okay, God is the Almighty. God is the one that is reigning from above. That's allowing things in our lives for a reason. But here it's saying, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That means those that are trying to make mockery or to stir up trouble and to cause strife and envy behind the scenes and just scorning and speaking evil of those that are maybe in our authority or speaking evil of God and all these things and very scornful and very abrasive about it. But it's saying, blessed, happy is the man that plugs his ears. That when he starts hearing those things, like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to participate in this gossip, whatever you want to call it. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear, thus saith the word of the Lord. What does the Lord tell me to do? He says, bless them that curse you. Do good to those that despitefully use you. Love them with an everlasting, with a godly love. Well, the list can go on there. But the point is, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Here's another one. Psalms 34. Psalms 34 and 8. Says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed or happy is the man that trusteth in him. You realize that's what happened to King Solomon. He had tasted of the goodness of God. Because you see, Solomon had set before him the opportunity to be the richest man in the world. But that's not what he was known for. He was known as the wisest man in the world. Okay? Because he chose unselfishly. And he didn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. They tried to counsel him to do other things. But he listened to, it's like, he listened to his heart, what the Lord was impressing upon him and how the Lord was leading him. And he trusted in the Lord for that. Say, Lord, I would that you would teach me how to guide my people, your people. Okay, Lord, help me to be a good king, a good ruler, a good judge. And God honored that. And it says here, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You see, Solomon tasted that. He tasted of the goodness of the Lord, that not only did God give him the wisdom, but God gave him the riches as well. Isn't that just like the Lord? That when we decide that, you know what, I'm not going to be selfish. I'm going to do what the Lord wants me to do. I'm going to ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? And someone mentioned this scripture earlier about someone help me out here. Basically where the Lord, where he daily loadeth us with benefits. That these are some of the, if we call it, the fringe benefits of serving the Lord. That yes, he'll bless you in the need that you have. But there's other things that you may not even realize that over time God is blessing you and blessing you. And then finally you get to a point and you look back and you think, well, how did that happen? And how did I make it through that? And oh, I see where the Lord did this and this and this. And all along the way, the Lord is pouring out these little blessings, these little benefits just because we allowed the Lord to work. Just because we trusted in the Lord. Just because we didn't want to be selfish. And that's what King Solomon tasted here. He tasted of the blessings of the Lord. He tasted of the love of God. How God wanted to pour this out upon him. And here's the awesome thing. It wasn't just to show how great a king Solomon was. But God wanted to show someone like a heathen like the Queen of Sheba. That look what I can do with my people. Look how I can bless my people. And how they bless each other. And in turn they're blessing me. You see, isn't that one where God ultimately, God was receiving the glory for all of that. But again, Solomon tasted of how the Lord was good. And he was happy. And not only him, it ran off, if we could say, it was contagious. The happiness and the joy and contentment that King Solomon had, that rubbed off on all of his subjects. And therefore, they were happy and contented and blessed of the Lord as well. Here's another scripture. Psalms 146 and 5. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Isn't that wonderful? You realize in the world, there's so many things. People are hoping for this, and they're hoping for that, and they're wishing for this, and they're, well, we'll just put it down where we live. There's folks that, my age, okay, that one of these days, we would like to retire, you know. But we're looking out into the future thinking it doesn't look very pretty. The way the economy and our nation is going, that, you know what? I can't bank on the government helping me retire when I get to that age. But and it's beyond that. But that's just a little example of, Lord, help us to raise our sights above this world. Lord, help us not to get, as the scriptures say, don't set your affections on things of this world. Lord, help us to throw our anchor over into heaven. Lay up treasures in heaven. I'm not saying that it's not good to set money aside in your savings or in a retirement account and all those things. That's good. That's not the point. But above and beyond that, Lord, help us. If we're a true Christian and we're trusting the Lord, we should be happy in the Lord. We should be contented. We shouldn't have to run around doing all these things and these people going to counselors. Would you teach me how to be happy? And they'll prescribe them all kinds of these things. And sometimes it's drugs, different prescriptions, you know, antidepressants and all these things. Well, this will give you a pickup. This will give you a little... I want to tell you something. When I get a pickup in my spirit is when I go to church, when I go to camp meeting, or when the Lord pays me a visit, when I'm on my knees praying or whatever it is, and the Lord comes in, that's my pickup. I don't have to have these antidepressant drugs and all these other things the world tries to give us to make us happy. But it says, blessed is the man who trusteth in him, trusteth in the Lord. Here's another one. Proverbs 3 and 13. Proverbs 3 and 13. Happy or blessed is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. I'm going to revert back to King Solomon. You know, the end of Solomon wasn't as good. We all know that. But the beginning of Solomon, to us, Lord help us, that we would... You see, Solomon had, you remember the story, one of the first examples, when they brought the little baby to King Solomon. And here's something, and this is just, I guess you would say, some advice from the wisdom that King Solomon had. You see, Solomon didn't rush to conclusions. You understand the point here? This can apply to us today. King Solomon sat back and heard both stories. Okay? Now, I'm not advocating here tonight that when we hear of a disagreement with someone or a quarrel or whatever, that we want to say, hey, and you grab both parties. I want to hear your story. I want to hear your story. That's not the point. However, there may be situations you need to do that. But the point is, Lord, help us, as the scripture says, wait on the Lord. That's what King Solomon was doing. And I believe the fact that he was able to step back from the situation a little bit and hear both sides of it. Give the Lord some time to filter into his mind what he should say, how he should act. Wait on the Lord. That was, I believe, the key element here. And that was wisdom and understanding. Because if we are to act rashly and quickly and jump to conclusions and things like that, we all know that. It can cause trouble. But here King Solomon sat back and with wisdom weighed the matter in his mind. And no doubt the whole time, the scripture doesn't say this, but I believe with all my heart, as he's hearing these stories, I believe he's praying to the good Lord, saying, Lord, what do I do? I don't believe it was just like, boom, and he knew exactly what to say. I believe King Solomon had a relationship with the Lord and was asking, Lord, what do I do in this situation? And I believe the Lord revealed to him what to do because he asked. I believe the scriptures don't say that, but the point is here, the wisdom that God gave, it wasn't like he just turned on a light switch and all of a sudden he knew everything. But I believe as Solomon needed it and as Solomon asked, the Lord gave. You know, that's the same with you and I today. The scripture says, ask and you shall receive. Knock and it shall be open unto you. Or ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. There's a part where we have to put forth some effort ourselves. We have to sit and sometimes knock a little while, be patient, say, Lord, I'm needing something. And just say, Lord, I'm waiting on you. Lord, what do I do? And just stand, being patient, waiting on the Lord, and then the Lord will give us that wisdom. The Lord will give us that understanding. I'm thankful for that this evening. Then Proverbs 29, and verse 18. Proverbs 29 and 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You know, that kind of goes back to the little example I gave of the children. I don't know what it is about. And I remember being the same way as a child. That, like, if my parents or whoever was in charge gave me some instructions and gave me things to do or things not to do, it's as if I couldn't wait till they got back home and I could tell them, I did this and I did this. And I was excited to tell them I followed their laws and their commandments and I was pleased. But I want to tell you something. And I was happy for them to come home. I wasn't ashamed of anything. But I also remember the times when I didn't follow their laws, when I didn't follow their commandments, when I did things I know I shouldn't have done. And guess what? When they came home, I was hiding. I didn't want to face up to it. But it says here, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You know why? There's nothing to hide. I did what the Lord told me to do. Therefore, I'm blessed. Therefore, I'm happy. It's Lord, come, you know, whatever, Lord. What do you want me to do next? I'm ready for the next commandment. Isn't that wonderful how that works? There's so many things where well, there was a reason why the Lord used children many times. Be like children. Be like a child. That Lord, help us to have, how could I say it? The mindset of a child, that a childlike faith. Oh Lord, I trust you, and I realize I'm so incapable in myself. And then when we do please him and we follow his commands, we're so excited. Lord, what do you want me to do next? Just like a little child, but we can be the same way. Lord, help us all. Then here's another one in Isaiah 32. Isaiah 32 and 20. It says here, blessed or happy are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. And here it's talking about, basically, don't be weary in well-doing. And the things that, Lord, help us to, don't prejudge situations or people or circumstances or our own abilities or even God's abilities. Oh, Lord, I don't know that you can do that, or I don't know that I can do this, or I don't know if that person can do. But Lord, help us to trust you more. And Lord, help us to go out. And if I'm supposed to say a word or do a deed or whatever it is, Lord, what do you want me to do? Sowing beside all waters. Being willing, here's the key, to be active. That's really what it's talking about here. Not just sitting back and saying, well, I'm just going to wait for the Lord to move. I'm not going to do a thing. And you know what the scriptures, and I shouldn't say it's scripture, it's a saying, that the Lord is not looking for ability. He's looking for availability. Now think about that for a little bit. Because truly, when it comes down to the real fact of the matter is, how many of us really feel like we have all the abilities we need to carry out all the tasks we have? I don't think any of us would raise our hands to that. We don't have all those abilities. But through God, and through His inspiration, through His strength, through His wisdom, through His Spirit, all those things, His power, what's the scripture say? Apostle Paul said, "For I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." That we can, with boldness, go and do the things God has inspired us to do, to sow beside all waters, to be active, say, "Lord, do you want me to go speak to so-and-so? I'm not comfortable, you know, you see the issues there, but sometimes, okay, maybe I need to go pray first. Maybe I need to get self out of the way. Then I can go do this. Then I can go do that." But the fact of the matter is saying, "Lord, here am I. Send me. Lord, what do you want me to do?" Be available to the Lord to sow beside all waters. And that brings another little thought. I've heard it said, there's so many little sayings regarding this, but I'll just put it in my own words tonight. One of the most thorough cures for being sad and depressed is go do something for someone else. Get up and go do something for someone else. There's so many other sayings that says it much more proficient than what I'm trying to get out here tonight. But again, the point is, don't wallow around in a self-pity and have a little pity party. Woe is me, and oh, life is so bad, and I can't do a thing, and I can't do this, and so-and-so's not doing that, and the Lord's not doing this, and you're not being active. You're just sitting there feeling sorry for yourself. And the devil's going, yes, I got them again. They're not going to do anything against me now. They're not going to do anything for the Lord. But no, be willing to go out and be active. To sow beside all waters. Then you'll be blessed. Then you'll be happy. You'll feel fulfilled. Why? Because God is working through you. And what better way? Of course we all know we're going to be happy and fulfilled. If the Spirit of God is moving within us, how many times I think of so often, Peter, on the day of Pentecost, don't you know that he was so excited to get up there and to preach the gospel, remembering how he had disappointed the Lord before? The sad countenance, just that cloud that hung over him on the night of the crucifixion. He felt crushed. Why? Because he was centered on himself. He was selfish. He didn't want to be, you know, obvious. He didn't want to get in trouble himself. He didn't want to be to stand trial. He's like, oh, I don't know them. He's being selfish. But when the Lord got a hold of him, he was willing to go out and preach the gospel wherever the Lord told him to do. Wherever, Lord, I'll do it. Isn't that wonderful? Well, this is all in the Old Testament. The word blessed and happy used interchangeably. I'll just read a few here in the New Testament. And perhaps the most obvious one is in none other than the Beatitudes. The Sermon on the Mount, Matthew, the 5th chapter. Well, someone mentioned it the other night, I think, that if we just live by these scriptures alone, in these few chapters of the Sermon on the Mount, we'd have a full-time job just trying to live up to these. But it's amazing what God put in these few scriptures here. Let's just read these real quick. Matthew, the 5th chapter, and verse 3. And remember, interchanging, let me just write it up here so we'll remember this. Put a little exclamation mark there for a reason. Okay, let's read these. Blessed or happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Isn't that amazing? And you read on the rest of the New Testament, and you read what Apostle Paul went through, and Peter being beaten, thrown in prison, Paul and Barnabas that one time, and Stephen being stoned, and all those things. They suffered persecution, death, ultimately. But they were blessed of the Lord. They were happy in the Lord because they had a hold of something. They got a vision of what it took to be happy. And it wasn't the things of the world. It wasn't the things that the enemy tried to sugarcoat and say, oh, you deserve this and you deserve that. And you know, the counsel of the ungodly, all these things, to be selfish, to be self-centered. But the way of the cross is death to self. And that's the way to be blessed, to be happy, to follow. There could be a sermon preached on each and every one of these Beatitudes. But Lord, help us all to get a vision of this, that the world's looking for a happy people. Now, let's get honest with ourselves here tonight. There's times perhaps when we don't feel like smiling. Is that true? I believe so. But it goes beyond just, yes, Lord, help us to smile, especially when we're in public. But there's times, especially when we're alone. We're alone with God, or maybe we're really fighting against the devil. That there is something about, let's read this 12th verse again. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. You see, that's putting a little, it's still meaning happy, but it's putting an emphasis on something beyond the physical, on something beyond what we see with our physical eyes. It's putting it in a spiritual realm because it says, for great is your reward on earth? No, it's saying, for great is your reward in heaven. You see, that's what the devil, he tries to shortchange us, to deceive us and to dupe us into thinking that this is all there is this life right here, today, tomorrow, next week, here on earth. When there's so much more than that. There's so much more beyond. There's eternity in heaven with the Lord. Therefore, we can rejoice and be exceeding glad. That when all these trials and tribulations come, yes, there's times we will be sad emotionally. We'll be drained. We'll be, oh, Lord, you know, I don't know what to do. But in our spirit, we are blessed. We are happy. Let's finish this off with one more scripture here in Revelation, the 22nd chapter. Revelation 22. We'll start with verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. We just spoke about that reward. To give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed or happy are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. Isn't that all of our goals here tonight? That not only can we have freedom, liberty, happiness, peace, contentment, all those things, we can have them right now on earth, okay? But ultimately, and have the right to the tree of life, that we can have life here on earth, but ultimately that you may enter in through the gates into the city. And as the song says, won't it be worth it all to go through all these things, it'll be worth it all. To go through those times when we don't feel like smiling, showing our expressions of being happy, but yet we know in our spirits, I'm redeemed. I've been set free. God has done this for me. God has done that for me. And we start reflecting on the goodness of God and how He's brought us through all those things in the past. And we start reflecting on what God has done for all those others in our lives, the cloud of witnesses and the other pillars in the church. And they're sharing the testimonies. And oh, we get excited. God is good. He's wonderful. And why would I not rejoice and be exceeding glad in all these things and be happy and be blessed in my spirit? I want to tell you something. As I mentioned earlier, it's contagious. How many times? I know for a fact. In fact, I've worked for some individuals that they would kind of play this game, working in these offices and some supervisors out in the plant. They would kind of play a game. They would just see how their attitude affected everyone else. Some mornings they would come in as grumpy as could be, just fussing and fighting and fuming about everything and just being cantankerous. And before long, everyone else in that office is being the same way. They're just throwing things around and they're being short with people and slamming the phone down and just, oh, upset. I mean, it just... But then there were times when they would come in and they were so happy, they were smiling, they were just giving and they were helping and being assistant and complimenting and all these things. And before long, everyone else was doing the same thing. Isn't that amazing? How we humans can be affected with that? But Lord, help us. Lord, help us to be consistent. Lord, help us to have this blessedness in our spirits and in our souls that we might rub shoulders with someone else and they might see, they can... That we might give them a little taste of the goodness of God. You see what I'm saying? That we might have something that the Lord has blessed us where our cup is running over a little bit. And they can share some of those blessings that God has blessed us with. And then some of those blessings are, we're happy in the Lord. We're rejoicing in the Lord. And we're excited about living life. And we want to do more for the Lord. And we want to tell others about the Lord. And we want to be active in all these things and this whole time. You know what's so awesome about all this? Is that makes the devil so mad. And I want to tell you something. I enjoy making the devil mad. And Lord, help us to keep that vision. Oh, Lord, help us to ever keep that goal, that ultimate prize in view. And I know it's hard through the humdrums of everyday life. To wake up in the morning, sometimes we don't feel good. Or maybe this has happened throughout the night, or this happened the previous day. But, oh Lord, help us to remember this scripture. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, that they may enter in through the gates into the city. That there's this prize that we're all running for. That one of these days, guess what? We won't even have to try to be blessed or happy. We will infinitely and forever eternally be blessed and happy without even trying. When we get over in that city, there won't be any devil to tempt us. There won't be any alarm clocks. There won't be any bosses to go demanding us to do this or that or all these things. None of that. There won't be any tempter. There won't be any flesh to deal with. We won't have afflictions. None of those things. We'll infinitely and forever eternally be blessed and happy. So let's all endeavor to do that. You pray for me that I be faithful.